Lord, I just want to pray for Dan, Lord. I know that he's been working on this, Lord, in his heart, Lord. I pray that you encourage him, you give him wisdom, Lord, that you use him, Lord, to be able to share the gospel, Lord, in what he's talking about today, Lord. And I just pray and I give you thanks for his family, Lord, for his daughters, Lord, for Liz, Lord. I pray that you encourage them, you bless them, Lord, as a family, Lord. And thank you for the word that you've given him to share. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cheers, Mike. We're going to need that later, but it all will be revealed. I'll be picking some actors as well, so yeah. You guys that are sat near the front, be ready, okay? I'll let you know. Elaine's running off already. There's a saying in the in the basketball community that says, you can tell a lot about a person by the way they hoop. A sense of camaraderie basketball creates when you're playing it. It's instant. It's fast-paced, where everyone has a role, and at some point you're going to need to be trusted to make the right play or move for the good of the team. And the quicker you can do that, the quicker the team can do that and mobilize and work together at the same playbook, whether that's written or unwritten, the greater the success. Basketball is such a unique sport in a sense that a lot of this communal sense of the game comes from pickup culture, where you can literally walk to a random court anywhere in the world and you can be invited or you can request to just join a group of people and make a squad. It sounds great, right? But it's not always hunky-dory, right? The intense physicality of the game, the explosive nature of the moves can sometimes be reflected in people's emotions, and these can get tested at the best of times. This is often when you'll find your nemesis, whether that's on your own team or in the opposite team. So let me introduce one of mine, one of many actually, but I'm not that, I don't go around winding people up, by the way. Like, it's a player called John. And so I've started playing basketball at the American school over in St. John's Wood there. And just after COVID, and just from the beginning, we did not see eye to eye at all. And it became more apparent as time would go on. So much so that when teams are getting picked, people purposely put us on the same team because they knew it wouldn't work and they knew we'd lose. But all the while, they'd have a giggle at us arguing and shouting at each other. They'd be, oh, look, they're arguing again. I love this, man. Somebody bring me the popcorn. Like, you know, we're just like climbing into each other. Like, oh, what are you doing? Like, now, John would purposely not pass the ball. He'd try and shoot as much as possible and often to the detriment of the team. He'd miss a lot. Sometimes he'd score a lot, but would still end up losing. And this would annoy me to the point of where I'd want to stop playing. I want to switch teams. I'd find myself getting frustrated. And as a result, just not generally having a good game, whinging and complaining my way to the sideline. But I remember this specifically happening and God's voice cutting through, saying, do all things without complaining. Straight from the book of Philippians. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. That got drilled into my head at Carrotty Wood, so I strongly suggest you go to Carrotty Wood for your memory verses. Evidently, the problem wasn't necessarily John. It was me and the way I was reacting to John's behavior. God's primary concern in that situation was me. And that's always God's primary concern. It's us. If he gets his children right, then everything else falls into place. And the reality is, there's Johns everywhere, isn't there? There's Johns on the basketball court. There's Johns off the basketball court. There's Johns in our workplaces. There's Johns in our families. You might be even sitting next to a John right now. But it was only until God checked my... Don't worry. It was only until God checked my heart that I was able to become a better teammate, and even to John himself. That's my challenge to us today. Let's allow God to search our hearts for that thing that's stopping us serving, encouraging, and supporting the body of Christ. Maybe you know what it is already. Maybe you need to do a little searching to find out. But let's just allow God to open us up. Paul, preaching to the Romans, he encourages them to be, the church in Rome even, encourages them to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honoring, giving preference to one another. And as a basketball coach and player, this immediately takes my mind to how believing in your teammate is so important. How trusting in that moment that your brother is going to come through, or knowing that your brother can do exactly the same as you or even better. Much like the NBA Finals of 1997. And here we are at the NBA Finals of 1997 with Steve Kerr. Give him a round of applause. This is Steve Kerr. We'll have Michael Jordan. We'll have one defender. We'll have another defender as well. Michael Jordan's a special player. He always gets double teamed. So, Michael Jordan is often known for these clutch moments. It's 5 seconds left on the clock. The clock is going, counting down. Michael Jordan's got the ball. Everybody is expecting Michael Jordan to take the final shot. Wait. Because it didn't happen like that. So, Michael Jordan is attacking this way. The basket is here. It's just here, anywhere here, right? So you guys are defending Michael Jordan with your hands up. Michael Jordan's got the ball. Okay? Now I need you guys to count from 5 down to 0. Michael Jordan gets double teamed. 5, 4. Passes it to Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr takes the shot. Swish. Game over. Bulls win. Champions again. Sit down, everybody. I just want to encourage everyone today that there's always something we can bring to the body of Christ. There's always going to be someone that you can help in a whole spectrum of ways, right down to just making yourself available, like Steve, or like, Elaine, in that case. But I've got a question for you. What's the greatest team that you can think of? Anything? Arsenal. Hey, look. Anyone? The Invincibles. These guys, right? Yeah. Some Tottenham supporters were probably looking bitter at the back there. What about these guys? Anyone? Yeah. Didn't they do us? They did us proud, right? But regardless of who your team may be, in my personal opinion, the greatest team to ever live were the disciples. These 12 men had the biggest effect on society the world has ever seen and ever will see. What a team, though. Complete mixed bag of characters. Some reserved, quiet, some more loud, some ready to chop your ear off. Even a tax collector, which none of them probably liked. But the Lord, our God, managed to band them together and took them from this place of random guys. Took them from a team to a family. And as a result, they were able to change the world. Ephesians 4, 1-6 says this: I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and Spirit, Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. What I love about the Bible is it's real. It's so real. It always shows us men and women who go through real things. These men who have been tortured and imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. And again, it's a stark reminder of how real this walk is. And the opposition that we face is as real today as it was back then. You only have to walk down Oxford Street and you'll hear Hare Krishnas. I know you must have heard Hare Krishnas walking down the street, beating the drums, singing, and people joining in. I've even seen like teenagers rapping to the beat as well. Some of them are quite good actually, but then the poor girl outside John Lewis, one girl and her keyboard. You know what I'm talking about, right? One girl and her keyboard gets moved on by the police, says that she's breaking the law. It's real opposition that we're facing. And here we have Paul writing to the church in Ephesus saying, I've been imprisoned. I'm in jail, but I'm begging you, live a life worthy of your calling. Straight away, what is that calling? Straight away, he's talking about unity. Unity, it's top priority. We like to talk about, I want to find my calling, what's my ministry, and so forth. But Paul's saying, start here. Unity, that's your calling. Loving unity. Four things are needed for this unity, that the type of unity that God is looking for. And interestingly enough, if you apply these same principles, I'm sure you will have a guaranteed successful team with great team chemistry. Number one, humility. Lowness of mind. Not having a high view of yourself. A Hebrew understanding could be occupying your space, your God-given space in the world, and seeing yourself as God sees you. A humble teammate is so much easier to work alongside than a self-centered, prideful one. I remember being at school on the rugby team. I'm the other black guy, by the way. I'm that one. Not that one. We're not related either. But there were way too many egos in that team. And as a result, it created this weird hierarchy of like who was important and who wasn't. Comparatively to my basketball team, the characters were involved were a lot more humble. In fact, we treasured that as a team kind of virtue. And that's what gave us strength as a team. The second attribute of unity Paul is mentioning is meekness. Understanding your strength without being overcome with the need to display it. Now, on my school basketball team, we definitely had a few guys that could put up big numbers and make their own individual stats look really pretty. But that wasn't of any of our interests. We cared more about the collective win than anything else. We understood our skill sets and our strength as individuals, but we weren't overcome with the need to display it. And in the same way, Jesus laid down his life in the garden, not overcome by the need to display his own strength, because he quite easily could have. This is how we've been called to lay down our lives for one another and the Lord. The third characteristic Paul talks about is patience, which literally means to be long-tempered. It's almost celebrated in the world today to be short-tempered. But let's run away from it. Let's run away. Let's run the opposite way, in fact. Let's keep our unity by being long-tempered. Interestingly enough, I watch a lot of Instagram and YouTube. I often get in trouble at home for sitting on my phone like this. It's research. You see, it's useful. Okay. All right. But I saw a clip of two guys and they were having a giggle about how quick to anger God was in the Old Testament comparatively to the arrival of Jesus. But immediately I disagreed, because when we read the stories, when we read the accounts, they all show God to be slow to anger. Let's be long-tempered. And I don't mean being angry for a long time. Our God is slow to anger, his body likewise. The last attribute, forbearance. Making allowance for each other's faults. With five players on the court during a basketball game, it's almost inevitable someone's gonna make a mistake, turn the ball over, or some kind. But like I mentioned before, you can tell a lot by the way a man hoops. Those situations are very revealing for the unity of the team and the character of the individuals involved. And again, what I loved about my undefeated for the whole season school team was we never shouted at each other. We never criticized each other or ran into each other. It was always encouragement. And if something went wrong, we fixed it together. There was such a strong sense of forbearance that everyone could just settle into their roles within the team, knowing that we were together, win, lose, or draw, turnover or no turnovers. We didn't lose. Even on Friday before the fundraiser football match, this text, you might recognize it. It's Mauricio's text to the team. He's saying, come on guys, look, when there's mistakes that happen, don't shout at each other. Yeah, let's support each other. We're a team, in essence. That's what he was saying. And he did that because he knows the power of forbearance in that setting. Now, can I read out? Yeah. Remember, guys, we are a team. So please, let's respect each other, encourage each other, especially when we make mistakes. And finally, any subs I make, respect your teammate who comes on, so no complaining. Exclamation mark, triple. Let's work for each other. I'm sure we will be very, competitive that way, right? But I wonder what would have happened if he didn't set the tone, if he didn't send out that text. We wouldn't have got nearly as far as we did yesterday. We could have won it, actually. And Anton's goal was amazing, but yeah, that's a story for another day. He's not even here, is he? He's gone upstairs. Oh, that's a shame. Again, the ultimate act of forbearance being Jesus, the Lamb of God, atoning for our mistakes, killed for our sin, that we might be washed and set free from the power of sin and death. So we're united, we're walking together, but how do we go? How do we grow? How do we minister to the body? We use our gifts with love. It's with love that we stay united. And it's with love how we get the body to grow. Ephesians 4:15-16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It's speaking the truth in love. That's how we're going to grow. It's in love we're joined together and knitted together. And it's in love that we build each other up. And very importantly, we need to be reminded that we can have all the gifts. We can bring all the prophecies. We can have all the pictures. But without love, the body is still stiff and it won't grow. We want to be bringing souls into a place where they see God's children, God's disciples, loving each other, and with our relationships, showing one another around, and sorry, showing one another and everybody around that our God is love. It's one Father and one family. But the beauty of it is that we're so diverse. There's so much diversity that we have here in our church at Bassett Street, and a diversity of gifts as well. Everybody has something to bring. And I want to encourage us today to, with love, come prepared to share those gifts. Whether it's joining a serving team, joining a community group, perhaps you've seen the need for something in the church that we could really benefit from that nobody else has seen. That's a gift from God, from you to us. Maybe we could talk to the elders and have that facilitated in some way. Again, yesterday we had that football fundraiser on the Castlehaven pitches there. And it soon becomes apparent that as soon as that whistle blows, everybody's got something to say. Everybody's got an encouragement for their team because they want to win. I wonder if we could just get a hold of the victory of God, of our God coming to rule in righteousness and truth, of this unshakable kingdom that we are receiving, of being in heaven 10 out of 10. No more sin, no more death, no more corruption. Thanks to our Lord's sacrifice, laying down his life while we were still spiritually lost, dead, and buried in our sin. Maybe we need to think more of this to help us become more forthcoming. And even just on a Sunday, I want to challenge us with love. Let's make it a habit to come prepared. Prepared with a song rather than what are they going to sing today? What's God put on your heart that week? Like, is it Brother Roy? When he got up and he sang, "There is a green hill." Powerful, right? Who wasn't moved by that? He is special, but he's not, in the sense that we can all do that. We can all do that. And how much richer, how much stronger will we be as a result? Rather than coming to church thinking, oh, what are they going to preach today? What's that verse that's been on your heart this week? What's God been speaking to you about this week? What's blessed you this week? We can all eat from the same food. That could really bless somebody else. Nothing is too insignificant to share. I used to play basketball with a guy that he was a great player, and he passed, unlike John did, and he hit a lot of shots, right? However, it was a bit of a liability on defense. And reason being is that he was a little bit shorter than everybody else, which is fine because there's ways to work around that if you communicate. And if you are willing to listen to who's communicating with you, right? Because people are going to work with you in that situation to cover that gap. However, you would give this guy advice. Look, they're attacking on the left side. All you need to do is slide slightly to your left. Do you know what would happen? He'd say, "Yeah, I know. What would happen? They would attack on the left side, score a basket. "Dude, they're attacking on the left side. Slide to your left." "Yeah, I know. Another basket. This keeps happening, we lose." What I'm trying to get at today is, are we going to be that guy? "Yeah, we know. But don't do anything about it. You may think you're all right, but the body needs you. We need you. So let's step up. Let's commit, like Paul said, to a walk worthy of which we've been called. A walk in loving unity with our gifts, building each other up to full maturity in Christ. I think I'll land there, actually. If we could all stand up. And normally, during a basketball game, you'll put your hands in, right? And it's just a sign that brings everyone together. You have a consummate, like you kind of bring things together at the beginning and you shout at the end. But I want us to just join hands. So this will be our shout today. Join hands with, make sure you have got a hand in hand with somebody. Try and fill both hands. Even you, Thomas, at the back, you got to join hands. We need you. See, our unity is rooted in the unity of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One. So I'd just like you to repeat after me. One spirit. One body. One hope. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of all. Amen.
I would just, if we got, how much time we got? Okay, for one song. All right. I wondered if we pray for that. Sarah, do you want to, you got a song? I really do pray. I think I sent that text message about the team. But then there's one thing in sending a message the day before and then being in the middle of the game, in the heat of the moment. And I think it can happen to all of us. I'm going to forgive this person, but then when you see them face to face, you have that struggle of actually saying the words and really truly meaning it. It's difficult, isn't it? So let's pray for that unity, that we all have something to bring, because Jesus died for all of us. For one man, we were all made righteous, says Romans. You see, the unity in the body. Lord, we want to pray, and we're just going to do some worship just to glorify your name, Lord, that we do fit the unity, Lord, that we are part of one body, Lord, and that you are the head, Lord. Let us worship him as we finish today. Amen, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You have broken every chain. And I just pray those for all of us, for any of us, Lord, that we perhaps feel this way still, that we're not a 10 out of 10, Lord, that we still think it has to be us who do the work. But you did everything on the cross, Lord. Let us see it, Lord, and let us be set free to actually live out that life of compassion, kindness, of working together in unity, to serve our community through Little Gems, through Alpha, Lord, through a community group, through our family, through working, Lord, in the community, through our workplace. Can I bring something in this week to a friend, to a colleague who perhaps I don't have a good relationship? How can I say, God bless you, thank you for what you do? Can I bless that person because I have been blessed by Jesus? Can I do that? Can I break that chain? Can I do that? Lord, I pray if there's a lack of forgiveness within our church, within our hearts, all of us can suffer from this. All of us have one time or another. Can I say, Lord, can I forgive because you have forgiven me? Perhaps am I too proud to ask for forgiveness? Lord, can you break that chain? And can I say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'm so sorry. Because Jesus forgave me, I can forgive you. The gospel is incredible. It's freeing. Break every chain, Lord. As we finish today, we're going to be here with Nick, with Dan. If you want some prayer, you're welcome to come up. But also share the opportunity to have a coffee, a snack, speak to someone, say hello, bless them. Bless our colleagues. Let's bless our friends and family here in this church. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We leave the rest of the week to you. We leave our lives to you, the rest of our lives to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, because you have broken every chain, because it's amazing grace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, church. God bless you.